Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
But right now I want to bring in Dr. Michael Bauer, the medical director at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Bauer, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Hey, good afternoon, John. Where we don't keep people waiting 4 hours on a gurney in a hallway.
Hey, yeah, you know, when I heard that joke, I was like, what is the transition to Dr. Bauer here? I'll let him figure it out, and you did it for us. Thank you, sir.
That's the one that gives me chest pain, though.
Well, you might want to get that checked out while you're in the office. Doctor, let's talk about COVID vaccines and the updates for the fall. You know, we've been talking about boosters. And, you know, here's my idea. I don't know if you subscribe to this, but, you know, now that we're getting we're still a couple months away, but fall and flu season, and maybe this is the plan ultimately, but just to tie your flu shot with your booster vaccine, I don't know if they can put it in the same vial or whatnot, or you just get both of them at once. And then that's what we do going forward. Instead of calling them fourth, fifth, you know, boosters, it's just your yearly, here's everything, the catch-all.
That's exactly what they are working on right now, and I think you've hit upon a great idea. But first, we've got to come up with, is it necessary? Who would get it? How many? What are the strains we're going to do it against? And then you look at the number of people, unfortunately, that don't get flu vaccines. We would certainly want them to at least get a COVID vaccine. But I do think that ultimately in the future you will see, and they are working on it, some type of combination vaccine like that.
If I get a booster today, I don't think I'm quite eligible. I am time-wise, but I'm not over 50 or in the immunocompromised groups. But if I were to get one today, people getting their fourth shot, their second booster, is that the most up-to-date? Is that like, does that change throughout the weeks if new variants are discovered? Or is it set, this is the fourth shot, and then we won't update it until we get another one for everybody? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, so nothing new, you are correct, although it is, there's a difference between who should get it, who it's recommended for, and what's called permissiveness or who may get it. So if you chose to go ahead and get one, you certainly could. That there is some question, though, of how effective are the fourth ones, how quickly they wear off. So that's why it's really best to follow all the CDC guidelines.
Yeah. So like when they issued the fourth one, when was that? That's been a couple months now that fourth one's been available for people. If I were to get it tomorrow, it's the same thing as it was when it launched a couple months ago. They don't just update these things as they go along, is I guess what I'm asking.
Correct. And the vaccine has not changed. Remember, cool. The vaccine is still against the very original strain. Fortunately, even though we still see lots of people getting infected, even those that are vaccinated, it still is doing a good job at preventing severe disease and hospitalizations. And that's the take-home message that I hope people remember today.
I appreciate that. I also just appreciate the way you just keep on answering my dumb questions along the way. But I know people have them. And, you know, what are we looking at here for the fall? I mean, we're seeing a spike in the UK. We're seeing a spike in France. Are we anticipating the same thing here? Are we in for another difficult fall or winter? Is it just too early to tell?
Well, history repeats itself. We tend to have followed the UK, France, and the other European countries like that by about 8 to 10 weeks or so. So we have to be vigilant, but nobody's going to be surprised if we do have another unfortunate surge come on the heels of theirs. We're also still seeing plenty of COVID right now. It just has not gone away, even though it's summertime. Listen, I bet every one of your listeners knows somebody right now that either has COVID or just recently had it. So there's still plenty of it going around.
Yeah, you mentioned that in Cook County, back in that high level. Do you think people are over it and aren't paying attention?
You've heard me, you've heard many of my colleagues say this multiple times. We may be over COVID, but it's not over with us. And unfortunately, people are getting tired of it. They're getting weary, they're getting tired. Fortunately, we're not having to increase mitigations outside of the masking and the being cautious on the large gatherings. But, you know, we have not headed towards any shutdowns, the limited numbers on the gatherings, et cetera. Hopefully we won't get there.
Yeah. I just wonder, too, because you mentioned everyone knows someone that's had it recently, and that is absolutely true. Amongst my friends, you know, whether it was a couple months ago through Omicron, it was nearly everybody I knew, it seemed like. Do you think that the fact that so many people have it and then they recover because they got the vaccine, right, and they got the booster, so it was relatively mild to them, do you think that does give people a false sense of security that, hey, whatever, I'm going to get it, but it will be mild for me, too? And while that may be true, it may not be.
Once again, you are spot on. I know many people that have said, oh, now that I've had COVID, I don't have to take precautions anymore. And they just throw caution to the wind. Even those that were really fairly vigilant and very careful in what they were doing, human nature behaviors change. So people have gotten tired of it. And like you said, throw caution to the wind and just say, okay, I'm going on with my life, irrespective, and not taking any of those cautions anymore.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about restrictions and things in place, and I'm sure you're looking at a lot of different numbers, and you analyze them all, but what's like the one number that we should pay attention to? If we're someone that's plugged in but don't need to track every little number every day, is it the hospitalization number that we think that most people should pay attention to whether or not to ascertain whether something needs to happen or change their everyday habits?
Yes, it still is important to know how much is currently circulating in your local area, but the CDC came up with these revised guidelines on going from low to medium to high, and they do look at not only the number of cases, but the number of admissions to the hospital and the proportion of inpatient beds that are being occupied. And I think that's very smart because While you get numbers of reported cases, remember, those are just that. Those are reported. There's plenty of people testing at home that are positive. There are those that are sick that don't even test that have COVID. So looking at those hospital admissions and the strain and stress on the healthcare system at large, including our emergency rooms, is the way to go.
Dr. Bauer, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. We're not done yet. We'll just take a break. Stay on the line, okay, doctor?
All right.
Hey, but let's talk about COVID vaccine for little kids, because I don't have any kids, so I keep on saying, yeah, get one for your kids, right? Under 5 years old, down to just 6 months of age. I do understand, though, why parents are hesitant, right? Like, it's a different discussion when it comes to your little ones, isn't it?
Well, as a pediatrician, vaccines are near and dear to my heart, and we spend a lot of time advising parents on vaccines for their children. This one is no different, other than the fact that it's new. While it's perceived amongst many that, oh, COVID is really mild in the young children and infants, remember, over 400 children have died from COVID during this pandemic. That's a lot. That's a staggering number. They also serve as a reservoir to pass it on for others. And, you know, during that last Omicron surge, the increased number of hospitalizations we saw in those less than four and needing oxygen, it was terrible. Vaccines are always a risk benefit, and the benefit far, far, far outweighs any potential risk. I know a lot of parents say, well, I want to wait for a while. It's too new. We have so much data. The reason that the youngest, the pediatric populations, are the ones to go last is proving the safety and proving the efficacy in the adult and then adolescent population. We have that data. It's time for our youngest members to get those vaccines in their arms. And I, for one, am thrilled that it's now available for 6 months and up.
I saw a tweet from a mother who, you know, someone had screen grabbed a bunch of kids crying when they get their shots. And I think it was a New York publication. And they said, shots going in arms and look at how sad the kids are. And she's like, well, my kid has the same reaction when I tell him he can't wear his shoes on the other side of his foot and run around the house. Kids are going to have reactions. We certainly don't want them to cry. And it might be a little scary for them. But certainly your stats are just as scary, if not more so, of course.
Yes, you know, that lasts a few seconds when you're ill, even if you're home and not feeling well, or even worse, hospitalized. that lasts a lot longer. And God forbid anybody gets the long-term effects from COVID. So getting a shot is no big deal. We really want everyone that is eligible to go out and get it.
A lot of young kids are going to be getting shots anyways, right? Other vaccinations, inoculations. Can we do them all at the same time for a kid?
Yes, you can. They can be given in addition to those that are being given at a regular checkup. You know, every vaccine is important, but there are so many that we give now for illnesses that are so much less common and less devastating than COVID. Yet there's this fear among some because it, again, is quote unquote new. I hear that about vaccines that have been out for 10 years, 15 years. It's still too new. No, it's not. This is safe. It's effective.
Do you think more parents will choose to get those vaccines for all kids, whether it's five and under or above five, as they see more and more other parents making those similar decisions? I imagine that some parents are, and I'm always of the, I don't like new technology until someone else has tried it first. Do you think that there's a little bit of that going on too?
Very, very much so. We know that the rates for fully vaccinated in the pediatric population, you know, those 5 through 11 really lag behind both the adolescent and the adult population. Unfortunately, I do expect a similar response even in our youngest ones right now. But hopefully, as time goes on, things will pick up. I do want to caution everyone, don't wait to see if we get another big surge or outbreak, because it does take time for the vaccines to work and become effective, especially with the Pfizer, which is a 3-dose series for those 6 months up to age 5. That's given the first 2 or 3 weeks apart, but then that third one is not for another 2 months. So you need to plan ahead. It won't help you immediately if you are exposed or we're in the throes of a big surge. It does take time.
Dr. Bauer, Medical Director at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day, everyone. Take care.